Are you a songwriter? Are you looking to turn your songwriting passion into a full-time gig? Whether you are just at the start of your songwriting journey or a seasoned industry professional, this show is made for you. Welcome to The Songwriter Show, bringing together songwriting news, interviews, and community. Now, welcome your host, Sorontos.
Thank you for tuning in. Welcome back to The Songwriter Show, right here on Reality Radio 101. I'm your host, Sorontos. I'm a solo music artist who's been writing lyrics for as long as I can remember. Words are very important to me, and that's why I'm thrilled to host this show for you every Tuesday evening. I believe that every song is a story. Tonight's guest is William Cooper. He's a singer, songwriter, and columnist, a graduate of UC Berkeley School of Law, and he writes about politics and public policy.
And now, welcome this week's special guest. Special guest.
Welcome to the show, Will. How are you doing tonight?
Thanks, Sam. Great to be here. I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well, my friend. So thank you for joining us. So you have a very interesting story. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started down this road of writing songs?
Absolutely. So I've for the last several years, I've been writing columns, syndicated columns, and focusing on politics, some legal issues, public policy. I'm a lawyer by training. And so I'm very interested in that world. And a friend of mine, Danny Tark, has a company, One Coventry. He's got some great artists and really talented musician. We were just talking one day and threw out the idea I'd write a few songs and see how it went. And I really enjoyed it. I've always loved music. I was a big rap fan growing up with NWA, Ice Cube, Ice-T. Mid to late 90s is when I really started paying attention to rap and always really liked it.
Sure.
So I just gave it a shot based on my amateur fan understanding of music It's been a really fun process, and Danny and his artist, Pooter P, they're both in Columbus, Ohio. I give them, words on paper, and they turn it into incredible music.
That's awesome. So tell us how you get started writing lyrics. What motivates you? Is it melody, a drum groove? Like, how do you get started?
I just have a beat in my head, really. I'm not musically inclined. I like words. I like lyrics. If you put me in front of a piano or a guitar, it would be just mush. So
okay.
I'm not a musician. I'm just really think of myself as a writer, and this is one area that I enjoy writing in. And so I'll just have a little melody or beat in my head and just start putting together words. And it's easy for me, for whatever reason, to express myself about political issues, policy issues, things like that. I probably wouldn't write the best song to play at a big party or, Super Bowl halftime extravaganza.
Yeah.
I'm not as good of an entertainer. There's things I'm interested in and I'm able to write about them. And then again, because I work with really talented musicians, the end product is a heck of a lot better than the lyrics standing alone.
I started writing lyrics when I was like in third, fourth grade, and really it's the marriage between the music and the words and the melody and everything that really gets it going. And how have you found that writing songs is different than writing a column or a poem or something else, book chapter, anything else that you're involved in?
It's a great question. On the one hand, and it's been such an experience, doing songwriting because it has been very different. On the one hand, it's so much shorter, especially if you're doing a long essay column, or I'm working on a book as well that, we'll end up be working on the book for years.
Sure.
Whereas a song, you can get that first draft out in a matter of minutes sometimes. So in that respect, it's a lot different and a lot easier. But then I've also found that when you're polishing the song and really focusing on it, every word matters so much. There's less words, so there's more focus on each individual word. And then I like to have rhymes. So Pooter's a very multifaceted artist. He's a rapper, but he also does rock and roll and alternative rock. And so, but the lyrics that I write tend to have rhymes. So it's just my background. And sometimes they become a rap song, or sometimes they're just a rock and roll song that rhymes. So trying to get a really good rhyme takes a lot of work, because I don't like shortcuts. You know,
Yeah.
some people will have a song that ostensibly rhymes, but it doesn't really rhyme.
Sure.
So the biggest difference, I think, compared to a column writing is just every single word getting it just right, and especially with that rhyme, getting the words that rhyme to really line up and sync, and then also have meaning, not just rhyme and sound good phonetically, but also have meaning. So that's a big difference between a column, where you can really just bloviate on the page for a few paragraphs, and as long as your political point is made, you've got a column.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I totally get it. Tell us a little bit about the first tune you ever, recorded, wrote. Any fond memories about it?
Yeah, well, the first song that I ever wrote is the one that we'll be listening to on your show. So it's my favorite.
Okay.
Means a lot to me. It's a song about, it's a political song. It's entitled Feast, and I tend to write the song, the majority of the song, but Pooter and Danny will work together to make some changes. And Pooter actually came up with the title of Feast. And the song is, it's all about inequality in the United States. And the main angle, people have talked about inequality ad nauseum for decades. It's obviously a huge topic in politics these days. But the main angle is, and the lyrics are, while you feast on the American pie, we are spoon-fed a hollow lie. And what that's getting at is, while people who are very successful, whether it be in the political arena or in the business arena, are constantly getting more and more of the resources of society, of the American pie, people in underprivileged communities are told by those same people, or people in that same class, that, you know, we are going to help you, change will be coming, but it rarely happens, and there's enormous stagnation, socioeconomic stagnation, with millions and millions of Americans. And so being able, that's something that I've always felt really strongly about, just that unbelievable difference, how in the same country where you have people worth, at this point, multiple hundred billions of dollars, you have tens of millions of people that have extreme stress about where their next meal is coming from, and
Yeah.
the people at the top just continue to want more. So being able to put that into words, and then Pooter and Danny making it a great song, was extremely enjoyable, and just something I really wanted to say.
Yeah, absolutely. It is very sad what you talked about, that this inequality, and my God, how many cars or TVs do you need? People shouldn't be starving and wondering where they're going to sleep tonight, and it's just very unfortunate.
Yeah, and I'm all for people. I'm not necessarily saying that everybody has to be the exact same, and I certainly respect people like yourself who are talented, and you have your own show, and are successful, and people that go out into the world and do things. I appreciate that, respect it. I'm okay with not everyone being identically situated. But when it just gets so extreme, and the people at the top still wanting more and more, to me, that's just a real problem, and something that I like to express.
Yeah. Do you have any role models musically, either songwriters, like Bob Dylan? Is there anyone that you kind of, look up to?
There's a lot. So Bob Dylan is definitely one of them. I listened to him a ton growing up. It's always nice to have a role model you can aspire to, that you know you'll never get there. So you'll always be able to keep trying and improving, and still have something to shoot for. And Bob Dylan songwriting is as, you know, as good as it gets. I mean, he's a Nobel laureate
Sure.
as a songwriter. So he was a huge influence for me. And then I'll circle back to probably the music that most impacted me, although I'm an omnivore with music. I love every genre. I really can't get enough. Literally, I don't think there's a single type of music that I don't like. But another formative part of my life with music was the mid-90s to the late 90s, maybe early 2000s rap, Eazy-E,
sure,
Dr. Dre, so that whole era, you know, into Tupac, just really formative. And the lyrics were, you know, I still remember them so much today. And it's really helped, been something that I've looked to as a model. It's different. My style is different from that. And of course, different from Dylan, but those are two really big influences.
Yeah. And I think the genre and the timeline you described, I think was, like you said, formative. I mean, that's really when rap really started taking off.
Yeah. I mean, I think now you've got examples of great artists, but to me, and of course, highly subjective, that was the leading period. And I think that really shaped things tremendously. And a lot of the stuff that's still big today came out of that era, like Eminem, of course,
yeah,
working with Dr. Dre initially. And there was certainly Run DMC before that and the Beastie Boys. So there's a long lineage, but that to me was the apex.
Yeah, I remember all those bands. Some people kind of criticize rap and hip hop now, saying it's popified. But you know, really, I think the pendulum always swings between music that's focused on chords and then rhythm. And the melodic rhythm is so important in rap, and that's permeated regular pop music too. So it's gone both ways. And I think it was just natural that rap wasn't going to stay just rap.
Absolutely. One of the things I like the most about working with Pooter P is he's a rapper. He came up as a rapper, but as you'll hear in this song and in other songs we've done together, he takes sort of the kernel of rap, but then combines it into other genres. And when you can pull that off and do it well, it's really powerful. So watching the, like you talked about, the evolution of rap, watching the new forms arise, when people nail it, it's really awesome. Because getting really well done, but new, original music is fantastic. That's my favorite part about working with Pooter, is that he's able to do that.
Yeah. How often do you write? You try to do it daily, monthly, or just whenever the mood strikes?
Probably, I would say it's not linear, so it may be consistent for a while and then tail off, but probably at least every other week. I still do write columns. I still do write. I have a book that I'm working on. So I've got a lot of writing. There may be phases in the future where I'm more concentrated just on music. So your question generally about how often do I write, that's every day. And something that I really love doing. With music, it can be hit or miss. We're working on an album now. And so sometimes my cadence for writing will be, you know, how Danny and Pooter are working in the studio. And once they've got my last song really nailed down, I got to get these guys their next song and I'll speed it up. So it tends to be about every other week I get a song, but it's not necessarily linear.
Do you ever work with other people? Or are they the only ones you work with?
They're the ones I work with so far. Like I said, I met Danny. He's really talented. And in a lot of ways, these guys have taught me a lot about the music industry. I've got a really strong background, or at least a very experienced background with writing. I've been writing columns for about 15 years as an attorney. Writing is a huge part of my life. Taking the writing that I've done and turning it into songs and songwritings, which is something I've been doing now for almost a year, has been extremely rewarding. But I do give a lot of credit to Danny and Pooter for shaping, you know, getting a framework in place for me to do that. And they've been mentors to me in terms of how to take things that I want to say, I want to express, and turning it ultimately into that end product of a song. And so far, although it's, I think, early in my journey, they've been the two artists that I've worked with.
Okay, awesome. Tell you what, let's take a listen to your song and then we'll come back and we'll talk a little more, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, everybody, check this out. Here we go.
Why you squabble your man up high? Down below, the decades go by. You say you're righteous, you fill us all, but we're just a slogan as you seek a windfall. We are stats for fat cats who rattle off and their capacity. Your quest for power is so my pig. You don't want to hear about any other topic. Money and fame dedicate everything you do. There's nothing more, ain't that right, boo? True, brutes and suits. You're like snakes before flutes. Upon our necks, we can feel you. Why you feast on American pie? We are spoon fed a hollow lie. Why you feast on American pie? The years out here just keep on by. Why you feast on American pie? Me and mine are left to die. Why you feast on American pie? We are spoon fed a hollow lie. Why you feast on American pie? Oh, why you feast on American pie? Why you feast on American? But you're always a guest, you're never the host. From a distance you cry, from a put 'em you speak. You don't come close, cause you know that you're weak. Either plant green or trees, or stop with the tease. Get off of your knees, and stop charging fees. We don't want your sleeves, it's a fucking disease.
Will, thank you so much for sharing that song. That was pretty cool, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. And one thing I'll add to what we talked about previously about putting together that song, there's a completely different feeling for expressing yourself in a song, I've found, than in other mediums. So if you're in a conversation and you're making a point or you're making an argument, that's different than if you put it down into a column, right? It's a different experience.
Sure.
And in a song, it's even more transformative because you've got the music behind it. You've got the artist. For me, I am completely incapable of actually performing the song. So to hear somebody who's really talented and, you know, Pooter has this energetic, you know, powerful voice, to hear somebody else take the song that I've written, turn it into a song, is just a really powerful experience. And I'm guessing that you've experienced that too as a songwriter, that it's a whole nother feeling compared to other avenues of expression.
Yeah, absolutely. Tell us a little bit about what you got going on in the next 6 months or year. Anything you want to share with the fans?
Yeah, so we're working on an album. We have a very good chemistry. The three of us work together really well. We want to get 12 songs together, and then as the songs are created and produced, publish them on all the various platforms. But then when we get the full 12 together, package it up together as an album, get it into, you know, vinyl and all the other fun ways you can distribute music these days, merchandise, concerts, you know, the whole package. And so ideally, you know, sometime next year we'll get there, and I think it'll be really exciting. I'm fortunate to work with a great artist in Pooter, and I think the world's going to come to really appreciate his talent. He's already very well known, very established in Columbus, Ohio, which is surprising. I didn't realize this until recently. It's one of the 10 biggest cities in the country. It doesn't have any pro sports teams, which I always affiliate with size. But it's a really big city, and he has a really strong following there. And so within the next year, we definitely want to have that album out and really get some traction. So we're excited about that.
That's cool, man. Is there someone, when you look at your typical week, is there someone that you love venting, you know, kind of whether it's asking about your songs, whether it's just kind of being yourself, someone that you look forward to getting you through a tough day?
Absolutely. I mean, of course, I'm very fortunate to be married, and my wife helps get me through tough days when they come. That's for sure. And she certainly hears me vent. No, no question about it. She loves the music, too. We have a lot in common, including taste for music. She would actually want me to add to my list of great songwriters, Kurt Cobain. So I'll add Kurt to Bob Dylan and my 90s rappers.
Sure.
She actually just got the new Dave Grohl book, which I'm really excited to get a chance to read after her. And she just has great judgment about music. And when she found out that I was working with Pooter and heard some of his work, you know, she was really happy. And getting her vote of confidence about the projects that we have is great too, because she's I get a lot of value out of the fact that she's really honest. So when I do things that are not up to snuff, she lets me know. So getting her endorsement for this, the songwriting and the album we're working on has been great and given us a lot of confidence.
It's cool. Do you have a favorite podcast or something that you listen to?
Your show, of course.
thanks for the plug, man. I appreciate it.
I also, as a columnist, I'm politically focused. So I do listen to a lot of podcasts that are political in nature. I certainly would not endorse all of his views, but I'm one of the many people that listen to Joe Rogan as well. I like his show. He has guests across the board, and I like the format where with Rogan, and he loves music. He talks a lot about the music industry and songwriters as well. He's actually very fascinated about the music industry and how artists are paid and how that, you know, the history of record labels, according to him, at least, taking advantage of artists. So I've learned a lot through him, but I really enjoy that podcast, primarily because of, I think the setting, where it usually for 2 or even 3 hours, he's got a guest on where they're really hashing out the issues in a sustained way. And the thing I like about it is it's a contrast to so much else in the modern media ecosystem, right? So much of the media is 15-second sound bites or press conferences where people are yelling at each other or heavily edited, strategically edited clips. So environments like the one we're in right now, where we're having a nice, thoughtful conversation, I just really enjoy it as an anecdote to most of what you find on TV and the radio.
Yeah, I gotcha. Tell us a little bit about where can people stream your stuff, buy it? Do you have a website, socials, whatever you want to share with the fans?
Yeah, so the name of the company, and Danny Tark is the head of the company. He's the mastermind. He's also a great musician, great producer. It's One Coventry. So OneCoventry .com. Okay. He's got a number of artists that he works with. He's an artist himself. And if you want to go to learn more about Pooter, if you want to go to find our songs, you can go there. And of course, we're up on all the platforms, YouTube, Spotify, I don't know exactly how Danny does it, but if you Google, for example, the song we heard today, Feast, Pooter P Feast, there's a couple dozen different places to find it. So it's everywhere.
Cool. What's the strangest, weirdest compliment you've ever gotten for your lyrics?
Oh, that's a...
And it can't be from your wife.
let's see. That's a really good question. I think one that I got, and it was from a friend of mine that I've known for a really long time, was that it was educational. And I never thought about that before. And it was you said compliment, so I'm leaving out the many criticisms, but yeah. But the compliment was educational, and I thought, wow, that's cool, because I certainly am not, my style is more expressing an opinion through my lyrics, whether it be about inequality or public policy challenges, things like that. But I'm not really in the teaching mode, so I was surprised to hear it, and it did seem it was a little weird to me, but I really appreciated the thought that people would listen to the song and actually feel like they were learning something.
Okay, that's really cool. Well, I want to thank you so much for being on the show tonight, man. It was awesome.
Absolutely, I really appreciate your time. You have a great show, a really cool topic. I look forward to continuing to listen to it, and really appreciate you having me on.
Oh, you're welcome, my friend. So, to any listeners out there, if you wish to be on the Songwriter Show, please just reach out. To all the fans, I want to thank you for listening, spending a little time with me and Will. I hope your own unique story gets heard around the world. My name is Sorantos. Please join me every Tuesday night to hear other amazing artists share their fascinating behind-the-scenes stories right here at The Songwriter Show on Reality Radio 101. And tonight I'm going to leave you with one of my songs called I Never Catch the Train. It's an alternative folk music video and song that you can catch. It's a little bit Bon Jovi, a little bit Pet Shop Boys. I hope you guys enjoy it. Have a great night. I love you guys.
Made sense, then life happened, and you left, and you left. Another Friday night, tangled up with no help. Friends around, but I'd rather be someplace else. Here I go again. The days grow heavy, lost and confused. Except I. Like a fool, such a nerd, such a nerd. Now stuck on the shelf, always so scared. Standing here alone while no one cares. Here I go again. The days grow heavy. Lost and confused. Except I got everything to lose.
Time.
to The Songwriter Show. To keep the momentum going, head over to www.songwritershow.com and join our free music community of artists, songwriters, and producers. That's www.songwritershow.com.